I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson
and Corinne Fisher. You are about to listen to a clip of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slutching podcast. It's our podcast.
Yeah, suck my dick.
Today's guests are the co-hosts of the Full Release podcast, Mo Mandel and Dr. Ashley Winter, who is a urologist, and we talk about
operating on dicks.
Yeah. Christina really got into it.
Oh my God. So many things. What a power you have when you hold a man's dick in your hand and he's under the knife, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So enjoy.
Ashley, you're a urologist and a sexual medicine physician. Is that correct? That's the right title.
Yes.
So I always have had a fascination about men who choose to be gynecologists, because I'm like, why are you doing that? You know? And then one time at a comedy show, there was a male gynecologist in the audience, and I was like, oh, perfect. I have so many questions for you. And I was like, why? Why'd you choose it? And he goes, I wanted to be in medicine that involved life and not death, meaning delivering of the babies. I wanted to be there when life started. And I'm like, that's a good answer. I can't get mad at you for that. Why did you want to be a dick doctor?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I will say, first I started, I mean, I'm a urologist and I see male and female patients and I do female stuff, but definitely the most of my like surgical area of specialization is dick surgery. And yeah, I mean, if you would ask,
that's
like,
what it says on the menu, dick surgery.
For sure. I should get all my, my trunk of, fake dicks for, cause I have like a whole trunk of like medical prosthesis.
Dicks, yeah, so I'm not the only dick in this. There's a lot of other dicks in this.
Wow.
House.
How many dicks are in your trunk?
I could go get it. There's a number.
She did Dr. Drew's show one time in LA and she brought down this dick model because we were doing this long distance relationship when I was in LA. Yeah. And she, it was like this big sort of dick model thing that she brought on to do the show. And then she didn't want to take it back in her bag. So she just left it in my apartment.
And the
first
trunk
she
left of
it in my car. Yeah, my car. For like, and I kept being like, please take this with you, because I don't want this in it. And then I had it in my apartment for a long time. And then when I moved to Portland, I was subleasing. I had this guy was using my couch, and I was like, by the way, if you see like this giant fake dick in there that's inflatable, that's my wife. And it's not even hers in that regard. There's a lot going on.
But it's this very awkward looking thing because it's designed to be like model a inflatable surgical penile prosthesis and whatever. Anyway, it was fun for him to have it because he was uncomfortable. But
but why urology?
So why that? So honestly, I mean, I think, there's so many different reasons. I the way the gynecologist put it was, I think there's a good correlate to that. So I think that, you know, there's so much there's so much medicine that's death, right? And despair and whatever. And there's so... And just staying alive. And there's so very little medicine that's about quality of life. And, you know, empowering people to be sexually active is about quality of life. And it is part of health, right? And there are so many people and physicians alike who kind of put sexual health on a different plane. Like it's not as important as the other stuff.
Right.
And there just really needs to be in the world of medical specialists, advocates for the, you know, for sexual health and for normalizing sexual dysfunction and treating sexual dysfunction. And, you know, I have so many patients, men and women, who come into the office and, you know, they're embarrassed and isolated and shamed, and they can talk to their doctor about their heart problem and their high blood pressure and their cataract surgery. And like this other part of their body, which is so critical to our well-being, is something that they feel embarrassed to talk about. And it's so, you know, systemic on the medical side. So I just basically realized that I like talking to people about sex and it was fun. And on a very like unexciting technical level, I just like doing penis surgery, right? Like vaginal surgery is like, you're in a fucking hole, right? It's like a cave. Like it hurts your neck. Like you have to... You have to have like weird lighting, you know, like a penis
that's
is just
true.
Like,
you're looking up a tunnel instead of having the pipe in all out laid out for you.
I'm telling you, like, it's a med student.
It's like in science class when they gave you the frog.
That's what I always, I was literally just thinking of that because I always thought that, like, if you were doing, you know, bottom surgery or something on someone, that it would be a lot like dissecting a frog, which is probably going to get me canceled. So that's nice.
Crim men are more than frogs. Oh my God.
But yeah, it's just nice surgery. It's just fun to do dick surgery. So of all the surgeries.
And
so,
like, that's just the power that I feel when I guys dicks in my mouth. Is a lot.
That's not how she does the surgery. That's not how.
Oh, you use tools?
Yeah, you're very misinformed. That's just a porno you watch.
What are the most common reasons that a man would come to see you? Like, what are the most common dick problems?
Okay, well, the most common reasons they come to us are probably for non-dick problems, like prostate cancer screening, but that's not exciting to talk about.
Womp womp. Boo, who cares?
But the most, hands down, the most common dick things would be erectile dysfunction and Peyronie's disease that I deal with. So curved erection.
What's Peyronie's disease?
Bent erection.
How bent?
I didn't know it was a disease.
It can be 90 degrees. Yeah.
Okay, because curved is fine, right?
Yeah, a lot of guys just naturally have a little bit of a curve. But this is like you were trucking along, you know, with your mildly curved erection all of your life. And then one day you woke up when you were 55 and your penis was bent at a 90 degree.
Whoa.
Ouch. Jeez. Yeah. And that's not going to go in. You got to have a very like a Tetris girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
That is part of the problem. Yeah.
Erectile dysfunction, we get asked about a lot. And we have, you know, obviously this is not a medical advice show, but, you know, what are the common reasons behind erectile dysfunction?
So there are two main subsets. So there's kind of what you call psychogenic, and that's probably what most younger people have, right? So that's basically like, if you're stressed out or you have performance anxiety, then your fight or flight response, you know, kicks in.
Going down, sorry. Somebody's dick just got really bent and they're just
they're very angry.
There's a lot of extra sirens.
Yeah,
today.
It's like a it's weird. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, so basically, you know, your fight or flight response kicks in and basically you know, your brain releases the neurotransmitters that kill your erection. I mean, it is.
Oh, I didn't think that fight or flight would kill an erection, but that makes a lot of sense because you're operating on a different, like your thinking part of your brain goes offline when you're in fight or flight. So that makes sense that other areas will get cut off.
Right. It's that you don't, you're going to shunt the blood away from your penis, right? Because that's kind of like the rest and digest and reproduce function is your relaxed function. Yeah. And when you're stressed out, basically your body says, okay, let me close off the blood vessels and the blood flow that's going to your dick because you don't need an erection to run away from the predator. And so it kills it. And that's just like and it's a very basic physiologic response that even if you're in your head, you're like, no, I want to have an erection. It doesn't matter. Right. Like if you're having performance anxiety, that overrides it. So that's the most common cause of, you know, ED in younger guys who are otherwise healthy. And then when you get older, the most common is like diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all the stuff that's not good for your heart is not good for your dick. So that's just in
your heart, like you treat your dick.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that like, that's not something that's marketed more in regard to diabetes. Like if, when you bought like a thing of like Twinkies or something, if it just said like your dick will work less good if you gain
weight. You won't eat it.
You totally won't.
Like you won't eat it.
Yeah, if there was just like a limp dick on the top of a Ben and Jerry's, I'd be like, oof.
Right, like the lungs on the outside of a cigarette pack.
Exactly.
I think if you were married, you would still eat it.
Yeah, probably.
If I was married?
If you're a guy who the only person you had where you were had to please was your wife, I think men would still eat it.
Hey, do you ever wonder though, like Ashley, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but why do they never have gay dudes in erectile dysfunction ads?
Because they figured out themselves. I feel like straight men they need more help.
I actually don't hear, I have a lot, most of my friends who aren't comedians are gay men. And I actually don't hear a lot about, that's a very interesting question. Talk. No, I don't hear a lot about erectile dysfunction within the gay community. Like obviously it's happening, but is it statistically happening at a lower rate?
Or maybe there's just like, maybe there's more, I don't know, this is like a stereotype, but maybe there's like less strict monogamy. And so like, maybe that's like another issue for where the erectile dysfunction comes from. I don't know. That's probably a stereotype.
That's good. You just ruined a lot of girls' lives.
Maybe our dick would be better.
We literally spent 7 years trying to convince the women who listen to this show that ED wasn't because of them. undid all that.
It's like that Jim Norton had that joke where he's like, yeah, I have erectile dysfunction. Me and my my girlfriend have different ideas about it. She gave me some Viagra. I gave her a treadmill.
Oh God. That's such a good, that's a classic Norton.
And Dr. Winter, your feedback on that.
Plenty of gay guys have ED. I mean, I have plenty of patients who are gay. Right, and
okay, that's good.
You know, if anything, there's actually probably more pressure for like penile rigidity in the gay community, because it's like, you know, if you have like two swords going at each other in the same, like, you know, sex session, it's like, if you're underperforming and the other person has a dick and it's working great, like that can stress you out, right? Whereas if you're in like a heterosexual environment, like, fine, you're losing, you know, whatever.
You lose, biggie, yeah.
Yeah. And then also just because, you know, for anal penetration, the to get technical, the axial rigidity required to enter an anus is more than vagina because it's tighter.
Sure. So you need to be harder to go into a butt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's probably a lot of, there's probably more common implementation of, you know, like Viagra type drugs at a, like there's a lower threshold to probably start some of those things. You know, in certain gay communities. Now, I mean, I can't obviously speak for everybody, but you know, I'd say that that is definitely a thing, which
interesting.
I'm totally fine with. I mean, you know, Viagra type drugs are basically good for your penis, and you know,
Do they have any other side of like Viagra other than like an 8-hour erection? Like, is Viagra that won't fuck up your heart or anything? It won't have any other negative side effects?
It's a great question. The whole thing of it, you know, causing an erection that lasts longer than 4 or 8 hours almost never happens. Like, they have to say that on the ads because the FDA makes them, but the chance of that happening is basically like 1 in a million. Even if you didn't have ED and you took it just for fun, it's not going to happen. Like, there's some idea that like people overdose on that shit. Like, if you take too much Viagra, basically you're going to get like a headache and fall asleep. Like, that's not.
Okay.
But in terms of other side effects, so the common side effects from it are runny nose, headache, acid reflux. That's most of it.
None of them, not that bad.
None of them pale in comparison to a hard cock. So I'll take it.
For sure. And what I say to people is, if it's like encouraging you to have sex more often, then that's cardiovascular exercise. So it's good for you. So,
hey, fuckers. Hope you enjoyed that excerpt from our interview with comedian Mo Mandel and Dr. Ashley Winter. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to luminarypodcasts.com, where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month. Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.